ask me the questions, Bridgekeeper. I am not afraid.
What is your name?
My name is...
All right.
What is your name? What is your name?
Welcome to the beautiful campus of LCMSU, everyone. I'm your host.
What is your name?
Thanks for asking. I'm the Chancellor, Pastor Marcus Zander.
What is your name?
Hey, I already told you once.
Now, say my name.
Paul Spinell. How are you doing today, Paul?
Great, Marcus. How you doing?
Doing fantastic, and it is always great to have someone here from Ohio. You're calling in from Columbus, Ohio. I had the privilege for our listeners, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago now, being with you and your home congregation there in Columbus. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, life in Columbus, and a little bit about Zion Lutheran Church?
Yeah, so late 20s, married guy with two kids, public accountant by training, currently work in the pharmaceutical industry. Cradle Missouri Synod Lutheran from Dayton, Ohio, about an hour west of Columbus, and graduated Ohio State in 2010. Just kind of
excuse me, it's the as a grad, you should know this. It's the Ohio State University.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I will get phone calls about that if we don't get
it
right.
I'm not as careful about those distinctions.
So you're an OSU alum.
That's right.
Stayed
that's
in the area.
And, didn't go to college really at all while I was at Ohio State, beyond a brief stint at a local, now NALC congregation. You know, found Zion after I graduated, you know, faithful liturgical congregation, German village in a hip part of town. Planted my roots there. You know, we have a really faithful couple pastors and a great congregation.
And you help oversee the Koinonia group. What is that about?
I'm more of an emeritus member at this point, now that I'm an old man,
married
with two kids. Yes, you're
retired at age 28. Get that boring old guy out of here.
Yeah, so we still host events and, you know, hang out with everybody.
But it's a young adult group of some sort, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty loosey-goosey with the young adult phrasing. I mean, a lot of discipleship that happens in the church, it's important for it to be a continuum. So you're always learning and being mentored by people who have already been through the stage of life that you're in. So, you know, we've got people who are 18, we've got people who are 42.
And as part of this group, you're trying you've been using this as a way to kind of hopefully kickstart a little bit more intentional campus outreach at The Ohio State University. And so you guys are our LCMSU chapter there at Zion Lutheran Church, and your pastor, don't want to get his name wrong on a show in which we're talking about names, it is Pastor Wes Hermohawk. Is that correct?
Hermoic. That's right. You got my name right.
I had to make sure I got your name right, but I messed his name up. So, it kind of leads to one of the reasons why I thought about having you on the night. I had a great visit there 2 weeks ago. It was wonderful to be with everybody, and I want to talk a little bit about the history here of you know, what people don't realize is, you know, going back to, you said you were a cradle Lutheran. You go back to you probably don't go back that far. The days when it was the German Evangelical Lutheran Church of Missouri, Ohio, and other states. You know, there's a long tradition of roots of Lutheranism in our synod in Ohio. But yet we've never had really what anybody would kind of look at and go, hey, there's a full-time campus ministry at The Ohio State University. And maybe I'll explain a little bit about why that is, but you've been trying to help get things started, and I just wanted to kind of publicly applaud you for that and thank you for it. You know, I don't want to say it takes a village to start a campus ministry, but it does take initiative, and you have demonstrated that, so thank you for what you've been trying to do. And you do have some college students around there. How many college students do you guys have around on a typical Sunday, would you say?
the total between undergrad and graduate students, we've got anywhere from 15 to 20 on a Sunday. You know, our church is around 4 miles south of the campus, so we're pretty close proximity.
Yeah, and at, you know, 15 to 20, you've got a great nucleus already, and I was bummed I didn't have a chance to really meet too many of your college students, except for one of your grad students and maybe a couple of others that were still around as it is summertime. But anyways, talking about why is, you know, let's talk real quick about just a little history lesson. The reason, one of the main reasons why we've never really had campus ministry at Ohio State is because back in the day, going back to the 60s, early 70s, maybe even into the 50s, many times the old American Lutheran Church, of which my wife was a cradle Lutheran, the old Scandahoovian Lutherans, that we were in fellowship for a while, we kind of made a decision to start getting into the campus ministry business hot and heavy on many campuses. And we, in short, and this is an oversimplification, but Ohio got kind of divided up like we do with many of our mission fields back in the day going overseas. The ALC said, hey, well, we'll take these three or four campuses. You and the Missouri Synod, you can take these other three or four campuses and we'll divide up Ohio. We'll build our buildings. You guys build your buildings and we'll serve each other since we were in fellowship. Well, that was great when we were in fellowship, but now, of course, we weren't. And of course, the now predecessor bodies to the LCA were the ones responsible for campus ministry at the Ohio State University. I'm getting sloppy. And so it kind of just got built into the dough, the institutional dough, that we didn't do campus ministry there for the same reason we don't have campus ministry down at Athens, Ohio, which I also hope to change. But anyway, so I want to do everything I can to help put you guys on the map. And anyways, it was great to be with you, and thanks again for all that you have done. And hopefully, you know, shout out to everybody there at Zion and everybody that is an alum. We have lots of alums. Do you remember? I told you we had a couple famous alums in the Synod of Ohio State. Do you remember a few of them?
Yeah, that's right. I know President Rast and Pastor Shea, you mentioned.
President Rast, Larry Rast, is a Buckeye. Grew up in the Columbus area. His dad was a music prof there from our Fort Wayne Seminary. And then Pastor Shave and his lovely wife, Kim, who both work in the IC. Pastor Shave is one of my counterparts in the Office of National Mission, who oversees, he's got multiple hats, urban and inner city mission, as well as church planting. And so you've got a lot of people rooting for you guys for multiple reasons.
That's right. I mean, we've got, you know, to give the audience a little bit of perspective, I mean, Ohio State has anywhere from 50 to 60,000 students. So our alumni network is pretty big. I mean, if I said OH right now, and all your listeners said IO, I mean, you'd probably hear it outside of your studio.
Sure. Even down here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. In the bowels of the LCMSU study.
I'm sure you get them there too.
Sure. No, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. You know, a lot of the roots, the Big Ten schools, back when there were 10 teams, but the Big Ten conference schools were some of our very first: Wisconsin, Purdue, the University of Minnesota, University of Illinois. Many of these schools were our very, very first campus ministries going back, and that's the stuff for another program. But doggone it, we need to dot, like, this is, I think we need bumper stickers for a campaign. We need a campaign to dot the I for Jesus.
that only works if we spell it in what, the Hebrew, Greek?
Well, you got to explain. There's some people out there going, Pastor Zill has lost his mind. Because what is that a reference to? You want to fill everybody with this?
Yeah, so the best damn band in the land. The Ohio
hey,
State
now, watch
Hebrew.
Your language now.
Yeah.
This is a family show.
Best damn band in the land.
There you go.
when halftime shows, you know, the band marches the script Ohio, and at the end of, you know, the song, there's the, you know, one of the tuba players gets tapped to dot the I.
And that's a very big deal.
Yeah, it's a very big deal.
And you know, if you ever go, and I don't want to diss all the other schools that have great bands, but in all seriousness, it is probably the best band.
That's the tagline. That's the official tagline.
Don't say it again. I'll have to bleep you. but no, but it is a fantastic band. And so when I say let's dot the I for Jesus, it's my being a little corny, but also tying in, trying to be relevant to people there in the Buckeye State. So one of the reasons why I thought it'd be nice to have Paul on here is not only because he's been a wonderful advocate for campus ministry and reaching out to young adults there in Columbus, and I really do appreciate that, but because he asked me the other day, hey, what should we, if we build this up and become a recognized student organization, what should we call ourselves? And we were going back and forth at it with Pastor Hermoic. Did I get it right?
That's right.
Got the name right. About what do you call yourself? What is in a name? And this is very important. I was joking with Paul that I would tell this story, but people appreciate if you get somebody's name wrong. You know, it's one thing if you just met them. It's another thing if you just can't get it right, like after 3 months and you spend every day with them. You know, they might begin to think you don't really care. If you really cared about me, you'd get my name right. I mean, it's when we name things, names matter. They just do. Because if you think about it, in this era of self-identification, we have no greater self-identification that we have been branded with the name of Jesus. We've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we also have a given name, given by our parents. Now, it's funny, I actually had a girl break up with me, and I shouldn't tell this story. Nobody listen, okay? This is just between me and Paul right here. But I was dating this girl in college from Boise, Idaho, and eventually she broke up with me because I couldn't say the name of her hometown right. It's not, because I was saying Boise, and it's not Boise, it's Boise. And I could not get it right. And eventually, I think she was looking for an excuse to break up with me. And she couldn't find a good one, so she came up with this. But anyways, so that actually...
You had too much hair on your head. That was
there you go.
It.
She was, yeah, that's a scary thought. But names matter. When we name things, there's some people in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod that say, well, we should change the name of the synod. This comes up almost every convention. But names matter. We build up our identity based on our name. Now, on the macro level, and this is a little unique because you asked the question and now I'm answering it with you on the radio. So you're actually kind of doing the color commentary here a little bit. But... there's really been three names used in the Synod's history at the larger level. First was Gamma Delta, going back originally. This was going back to the old Walther League days, Gamma Delta. Now, if you think about it, you're not that old at 28. Gamma Delta might have been trying to be relevant and using a name that sounds a little similar to what that you often find on campus.
I mean, it sounds like a fraternity.
Like a Greek fraternity. And so they came up with that, Gamma Delta. In fact, you will find a lot of people going back, especially the older generation, still remember the Gamma Delta days. I'm trying to figure out a way to utilize Gamma Delta within LCMSU because there's history. The one that most people are familiar with is the one that propped up, that kind of came up after the split that I talked about happened with the old American Lutheran Church, the Scandahoovians, when we were no longer in fellowship. We had all this joint ecumenical campus ministry going on when it was no big deal because we were in fellowship. And the Synod came up with the name Lutheran Student Fellowship. And so that was how some of our campus ministries still use LSF. And that's fine. We're trying to get away from it because the Synod officially kind of laid that to rest 3 years ago at our last convention. Not because it's a bad name, but because we decided we needed a fresh coat of paint, and we actually decided to put LCMS into the name. We wanted to be that distinct. because you have Lutheran Student Movement. There's a history of that. You have Lutheran Campus Ministry, which is what the ELCA campus ministries are called. You have Lutheran Student Fellowship, and at some point, people start going, well, okay, well, which is with which church? And so we decided it was time to actually be distinctive. So anyways, that's a little, but your question is, you know, why don't you tell in your own words, you know, why is this coming up right now? What are you hoping to do that you're thinking about the name right now?
So the, you know, the young adult group that we've had does have, you know, a cutesy name of Koinonia, as you mentioned before. You know, the emphasis, you know, we want to be on fellowship as part of
sure.
President Harrison's, you know, Witness, Mercy, Life Together movement. I thought, hey, this is great. You know, and now you've seen an abundance of those mononyms with churches being named that way and other groups and organizations on campus. So definitely an abundance there. So I thought, well, do we go with this route or should we stick with something more standard across other campus ministries, just LCMSU at, you know, Minnesota, at Indiana, at Stanford, at OSU.
And some groups still, like I said, they still use this Lutheran Student Fellowship thing, or some groups just go by their church name. But let me go through. I really got 8 tips here. These are very, very well crafted. There's nothing but the highest standards here. And I've been wanting to talk about this. So let me kind of just walk through this. We got about, I don't know, about 8-9 minutes here. Here's 8 of them just to help you out here. First of all, I would encourage everybody, when you choose a name for your campus ministry, you got to keep in mind about how you're identifying yourself on campus. And that's what you're talking about. So first of all, you want it to be as short as possible. So there, Koinonia is good. It's very, very short. One word. And so you don't want some super huge long name, because then it's hard to remember and it's hard for branding. Secondly, you want to think first and foremost, and your goal is, how do we get on campus, right? How do we get on campus? How do we develop a presence on campus? First and foremost, so our LCMS students know where to find you. That's one of the main goals, right?
Yeah. And if you have a name that's more ambiguous or vague, it's hard to tell, well, is this a Missouri Synod ministry that I want to get involved with, or is this some other organization that I'm less inclined to be a part of?
Right. And that's you got to think, okay, I know you're old. I know you're 28, but you have to think like an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old. You show up on campus, you're at this big school, 45, 50, 60,000 students. Hey, where do I go looking to get involved? So you got to think about, what are they looking for? They're looking for, where's the LCMS campus ministry? And this is one disadvantage of using a name like Koinonia, or let's, you know, I feel bad. In my sermon, I actually did this. I kind of trash talked Ann Arbor, Michigan. In my sermon at your church. So we'll just continue the theme and poke fun of, let's say there's a group called Wolverines for Jesus. Okay, if you call yourself Wolverine, we love you, Michigan. If you call yourself the Wolverines for Jesus, it doesn't really tell you, well, who are the people that put this group on? Who's behind the group? And so that's the one advantage of LCMSU, is that it's like, oh, the name LCMSU, it's right there. You know, people know the name LCMS. Now, some will say, well, it sounds exclusive. Well, not necessarily. We can talk about that if we have time. You also need to consider the third tip. So first of all, you want it short. Second of all, you know, you want to think, how does an 18-year-old, what are they looking for as an LCMS student? Because job number one is to keep them involved in the faith. Consider the needs of how the university will view your group. If you get listed along with all these other groups, if you're Lutheran Student Fellowship or Lutheran this, or you just put the name of your church and it doesn't have LCMS in it, now you're going to have problems of distinguishing yourself from the ELCA campus ministry. Again, one of the reasons why we chose at the larger level to go with LCMS. So we think it's important to be distinctive. We just do. We are at a point where it's time that we believe that we are kind of ready to say, you know what, we're LCMS and we're proud of it and all that that means. And we can choose, why redo the branding and have to have secondary branding when we can just use the name itself and then explain to people who we are and what the LCMS is about. Another reason, and this maybe is a disadvantage of using Lutheran Student Fellowship, and no, I don't need, if you have a complaint about what I'm going to say about the, using the name Lutheran Student Fellowship, it's 1-800-BART-DAY. 1-800-BART-DAY. That is my boss. I'm just, actually, that would work. That would basically work as a phone number, wouldn't it? I got to think about that. But the bottom line is we have phased out Lutheran Student Fellowship. And in the next year or so, we're going to be building in a bigger student component. People think LCMSU is done. We've only started, and we're going to be building up the network. But Lutheran Student Fellowship isn't going to be a part of it. And so while it's one thing, since, you know, the mere fact that people still use Lutheran Student Fellowship and LSF bespeaks how important having a brand is. And so I'm under no illusion it's going to take time to kind of work out of that. And some people may use it forever, and that's their prerogative locally. But we encourage the use of LCMSU. Now, you kind of mentioned this. You don't want to be trendy. Now, I know you said you're an accountant, right? And accountants are used, your idiom is to be trendy, right? Because that's what accountants do.
That's what we're known for, trendy and exciting.
But first of all, don't feel bad about using Koinonia. Koinonia is a great name, thinking of our fellowship and our life together. That's not a big deal. But, you know, it's really fun to call something snappy and, you know, but you don't want to, well, you're still a millennial. Do millennials, are they attracted to this? What would you say? Is the millennial, I'm not a millennial. I'm really, really old. I'm almost dead. I'm 49. Is the millennial crowd really, do they like, you know, Wolverines for Jesus? Or how would you view that? You're an 18-year-old at University of Ann Arbor, University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Would you be attracted to a group called Wolverines for Jesus or something like that?
I mean, I think everybody, especially, you know, our age, you know, we want to be trendy, but we don't want to act like we're being trendy.
You want to be taken seriously.
Nobody likes, yeah, even though we're trying really hard to be trendy.
You know, but it's kind of like that Talladega Nights thing with where they're doing the little baby Jesus prayer and the guy's wearing his tuxedo T-shirt because he wants to be formal, but yet it says he wants to party. Is it kind of like
Jesus
that where we kind of want
t-shirt.
Both millennials want to be taken seriously, but yet they want to have fun too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you put it that way.
Well, I put those words in your mouth.
I'd say that nobody likes being pandered to. And
sure.
when you have a group name that, whatever it may be, comes off as pandering to people to try and, you know, try and give them a rope-a-dope or hook them in, it's, I don't know, the intentions seem kind of dubious. So you want to just come out with it and say, hey, here's what we are as an organization, and here's how we want to serve you because we love you. You know, you can't say all that in a name, but you can have something simple and clear that people can recognize.
Well, you know, a great example of this is, I mean, I love the Students for Life movement. Our young people are so, so hot on this issue in terms of being pro-life. And when you take a name like Students for Life, guess what it says? College students who are for life. Now they can do all sorts of other little, you know, slogans and different things that they can have and programs and initiatives, but Students for Life, it says what it is. It is what it says. And so, and you don't want to always be, you don't have to go up to somebody and go, hey, what's Students for Life? What are they about? There are a bunch of college students that are for life. It's obvious, right? And I think that's what we want to aim at here. And so I guess we're getting down. We just got about a minute and a half left here. I guess what I want to point out is very simple. I would suggest if anybody asks me, you're starting from scratch, you don't have a name, I would refer to yourself as LCMSU at Ohio State University or LCMSU at OSU because it says who you are, where you are, and what you're about. And so I really think it's that simple, and it kind of helps with the standardization across the board as people are looking for who we are and what we're about. And you don't want to always have to explain what you're about. Now, you can tie it to your local church. Obviously, you're going to tie Zion Lutheran to it. And, you know, other groups can do likewise. But using the name LCMSU towards the campus especially will be very, very helpful. So, anyways, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think we just need a focus group to determine whether or not we put a lowercase t before OSU or not.
Well, you know, that's really all about, I wish we could have time. We could talk all we want. All, you know, we could talk all day, make fun of the Michigan Wolverines, you know, but then I probably need to tweak the slogan to say, you know, being a Buckeye is tough, but you need Jesus and we'll help. But
now,
in all seriousness, Paul.
Say my name.
Well, that's all we have time for here, unfortunately. Yeah, being a Buckeye or a Wolverine or a college student, it's tough. You need Jesus, we'll help.